Hello and welcome to Food, Booze, and Good Times, a podcast about Oklahoma City and other things. My name is Zach.
My name is Julie.
And what's up? How's it going?
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
You doing good?
Yeah.
This is a podcast about Oklahoma City food and drink. We talk about restaurants, bars, any sort of little shops, anything going on around Oklahoma City. Last week we talked about the dog place, the pet supply shop. Mm-hmm. And we also try to include things that aren't necessarily Oklahoma City specific, right? Video games, movies, TV, anything. So something that we're cooking, something that we like to drink at home or something like that. Mm-hmm. So thanks for joining us. And today we have a lot of stuff to talk about, Oklahoma City related.
Yes.
There was the Midtown Walkabout. We've been to a couple of different new restaurants, some old restaurants that we have revisited. And we sort of have a little update on those places. So we're excited to jump into it. I think we're going to go sort of chronologically.
Yeah.
From a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. If you have not heard, Guernsey Park is no more.
Sad.
There are two new restaurants. Same people, right?
Yes.
Same people involved in these two restaurants. And we visited one of them. There's Okie Pokie, mm-hmm. which is on the bottom side of the restaurant. And then you've also got Nudie, which is on the top. I think it's more of a bar.
Yes.
Bar situation mm-hmm. up top. And, you know, they don't open till later at night. Okie Pokie is very casual, very lunch. I'd say it's a very, very appropriate lunch location, mm-hmm. I'd say. Mm-hmm. So Okie Pokie, can you describe the cuisine for me,
so
for
us,
for everybody?
It's an Asian style poke menu. I mean, everything on there is fresh fish. You can get rice, brown rice, or salad as your base. And then you pick your toppings. They have pre-made ones, like, you know, mm-hmm. that has
sort of
a set list
specials
ingredients.
Or signature bowls
yes.
that they have put together themselves. And, right. you know, you're sort of relying on the chef at that point.
And then you can also do a make your own bowl.
So what do you got? You got tuna.
Tuna, salmon.
They've got...
I think they had some...
Crawfish.
Crawfish in there. They had yellowtail maybe. One mm-hmm. other kind of raw fresh fish besides right. the tuna and the salmon.
Right. So I got the Red Rock Canyon Bowl, which mm-hmm. is actually one of our favorite entrees at other Asian restaurants. Mm-hmm. Just to buy itself a sushi roll, Red Rock Canyon style, is so good.
It's so good.
Some crawfish on there, that sauce, it's spicy sometimes.
The one at Guernsey Park was delicious.
Yes, it was. And then there's one at Tsuchinico as well.
Yes, so good.
So I got the Red Rock Canyon Bowl. It was delicious.
You said it was spicy, right?
It was spicy. It was really spicy. So on top of the sauce, which I think has some spice to it on its own, there's also fresh jalapenos, which, you know, those are
hot,
pretty lit when it comes to the spice level. And so I was struggling a little bit. However, delicious.
So good.
Very good. Very fresh. Served cold, which, you know, for me, it was questionable. I could have worked hot, honestly.
Yeah, but
I understand you told me that it was, you know, traditionally cold poke bowls or served like that. You know, other than that, delicious. I mm-hmm. loved it.
I did a make your own. I had tuna. So you can get two scoops of fish. You can pick two. I just got all tuna. I got like almost everything on top. Like I wanted to try it all. I got...
There's tons of vegetables like pickled onions, I believe.
Pickled red onions.
Scallions.
I got... avocado. I also got like the crab mix. Mm-hmm. I got the roe eggs. I got onion crunchies.
It was delicious.
It was so good. It was really good. And I just got rice as a base, but I want to try this like half rice, half salad, because that sounds good.
So, I mean, when you get salad, what are you getting there? What kind of green? Is it green leaf?
Yeah, I'm sure it's just like a mixed greens or romaine situation. Very good. Very fresh. Great. Also would be great to go.
Yeah. It's definitely
a quick
stop in mm-hmm. maybe before a Thunder game, before an event, something like that. It's not a go in there, sit down, get a drink. You know, you're not going to be there for super long. It's a quick meal. Like mm-hmm. I said, very lunch appropriate
or
quick dinner. It's going to be casual.
I really, really liked it.
We went because I feel like for maybe a month or so, we're like, is Okie Pokie open yet?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And they've been in a soft opening phase for a long time.
Which they still kind of are.
They still
Not as much, because for a while they were only open like during lunch hours, like 11 to 4.
Right.
And that doesn't always work for us during the week. We could have gone on the weekend, but now they're open till 8.
And there was actually a sign up and it said, due to popular demand, we decided to open our doors a little earlier than we were really expecting. So they're still figuring some things out. If you look at the, you know, inside, it's still sort of being renovated a little bit. It's not like fully decorated and all that kind of stuff. And they're probably still trying to work the kinks out with the menu and the just the logistics of everything.
We experienced no kinks, though.
We experienced no kinks. It was perfect.
We didn't have
it. It was a great, yeah, great service and quick and delicious. And
apparently they have some cool sodas that I didn't know about.
I was not aware of the sodas.
But I would have ordered sodas. I guess go and try their sodas that they have because they're pretty interesting.
We tried to go to Nudie and then we learned that they were not open until late.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Right.
I'm down to go in there, though.
Currently they don't open until 9 p.m. But hopefully they're going to be open sooner or open earlier in the evening.
I think Nudie is the kind of place where you go in there, you get a cocktail, you sit down, you have a server and all that kind of stuff. It's a more traditional restaurant as far as I can tell.
It seems that way.
And Nudie is going to be more of a...
Nudie is you go in and you order and you sit down.
Well, the cuisine is different, right? It's like it's like a ramen bowl, right?
Okie pokey is you go and you order and you sit down.
Yeah.
And I think Nudie is where you go sit down and then you order.
Nudie's ramen?
Some kind of noodles.
Pho, in the pho ramen genre?
Yes.
I think.
Yes. I'm excited to try it.
Me too.
I need to be hungry, not eat dinner and be hungry. We can go at 9.
Right. Yeah. That's true. But I'm very curious about what kind of cocktails they have in there. They posted some pictures.
Yeah, they
and
look good.
I'd like to enter the realm of Asian-inspired cocktails. Mm. That's a field that I have no idea. I really don't know anything about sake or any sort of, you know, I just want to explore that and sort of learn about it maybe a little bit, you know? So maybe Nudie will open that door up for me.
Right.
And the door of opportunity.
That Nudie is going to have the Brussels sprouts.
The same Brussels sprouts that Guernsey had, which are delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Brussels sprout girl,
huh? I love them. They're so good.
Yeah.
But Okie Pokie was great, and I'm excited to try Nudie. Also, like, poke isn't really like a cuisine here in the city. So I feel like it's like a great new introduction. And if people never had it before, it's a great place to go.
Where else were we talking about that had a poke bowl item on their menu?
Oh, well, we'll talk about it. We went to the Union.
Oh, yeah.
And then 501 also has like two, Cafe 501 posted that they have two different kind of poke style appetizers that they're introducing.
We could just go ahead and transfer into the Union.
Yeah,
as it is formally named, the Eatery and Cocktail Office at the Union.
Okay.
I love that. Cocktail Office. I've never heard that before. Yeah. Eatery and Cocktail Office at the Union. So we went, it's been several months. It might have been in the fall or like closer to last summer, maybe.
I feel like it was about a year ago.
It has been a long time, but it's a totally different restaurant than it was that first time that we went.
Yeah, the first time we went was like pretty soon after they opened.
Right.
Whenever that was, that's when we went.
Just visually, you walk in and it's extremely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more welcoming, I would say.
Yes.
A lot of seating, a beautiful, like well-lit bar, and then sort of like a polished wood bar.
It was pretty.
You know?
Like a bar top.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bar top. That's the word I was looking for. And well, so the first time that we went, I think they were still figuring things out.
It was new, like brand new.
That's sort of the curse of people like us who like to go to restaurants as soon as they open, is that there's always things that they're trying to figure out, you know? And I believe that they had a food truck outside, right? There was some sort of food truck situation outside doing like grilled cheese sandwiches. Do you remember this?
Well, that was their thing.
Oh, that was the only food that they had was a food truck outside with grilled cheese sandwiches.
Right, right.
And then we had a beer and it's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it was a little confusing.
I'll say this. We hadn't gone back until last night.
Right.
You know,
it was somewhat confusing because we walked in and we've mentioned this on the show before. Like
it's a pet peeve of mine.
No one said anything to us. And then we determined that, you can only get food if you go downstairs to like their patio area.
Mm.
And it was just, I don't know. It wasn't.
We didn't go back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I still follow them on Instagram and they were posting about renovations and they posted a new menu. And I was like, man, if they can live up to what is on this menu, because this menu is very diverse and sort of up to par with other places around it. Because there's some competition out there when it comes to bars and bar foods.
Yes.
You know, you got Arbolata, you got the Jones, you know, there's just so much competition and there's sort of a bar that's being set for what kind of food that you're going to prepare and the quality of the food that you're going to get.
Definitely.
I mean, there's definitely your places you can go and I just want a nasty cheeseburger or like a pizza, it's like, it doesn't matter. However, okay. there's this whole genre of local Oklahoma City bars. Like
kind of upscale bar food.
I think you put it really well last time where you said sort of subdued upscale. Is that what you said?
I think something I said like it that? Was understated fancy.
Understated fancy, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's sort of what they're going for. And I was very intrigued by the menu, just looking at it online. And I'll say that I was extremely impressed.
It was very, very good and a very surprisingly great experience.
Yeah. I mean, we're just saying that because we weren't like stoked the first time we went there, you know?
Yeah. And I was like kind of skeptical when we went last night. You're like, let's try it. And I
wanted
like,
to go somewhere new last night.
I was like, I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know.
So I got a cocktail. It's called the Smash Piece, which is kind of a lemon bourbon cocktail, I believe.
That's good.
Had some rosemary in there, and it was great. It was very well prepared, and it was delicious.
I had the Lizzie Lake, I believe it was called. It's like a gin cucumber drink. Oh, it was great.
There's some lime in there as well.
Yeah, and rose water and egg white.
Really similar. Yeah, it had egg white in there. Really similar to a drink that we made at home a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The Gordon's Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon's Cup, which is cucumber, lime, gin, and simple. And
delicious. Perfect. Yeah, I wanted to do a summer drink.
It was very summery, very refreshing. So we also got the, I believe it's called the West Downtown Dip.
Oh, so good.
Which, it, like visually looking at it, sort of looks like a queso dip.
It does look not. Like
it's
a
really
cheese dip.
It's really not super cheesy.
No.
It had spinach, mushrooms. Did it have some sort of peppers in there?
It had like red pepper in
there. We could go ahead and pull up the menu.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The West Downtown Dip is a melted blend of white cheese, spinach, portobello, green chilies, red pepper, tomato, onions, and spices. You get it with some wonton chips.
It was great.
It was really good. Super, I don't know, just...
it was creamy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like you were saying, it looks like a cheese dip, but it wasn't overtly cheesy.
It wasn't like a queso.
You could taste all the different ingredients in there. And man, those wonton chips are so good.
I know. They have a chicken beer and with the dip duo.
They're just like a great alternative to just tortilla chips or pita bread.
They're so light.
Oh, they're so good. And they brought us extra.
They did.
Which is a big
there's
thing.
There's always a ratio problem. There's like not enough of one or the
there's
other.
There's either too much dip and not enough dippers.
What's up with places they give you just like a little tiny bowl of dip? Like, come on now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys got to figure the ratios out. However, the ratios here were great.
Yep. And I had the...
Also, I want to note that the West Downtown Dip is a great vegetarian dip.
Yes.
A lot of times you go places and there's always chorizo in there. There's always some sort of beef
bacon
in there.
Bacon or something.
Yeah. So West Downtown Dip, great vegetarian option.
And the mushrooms, I feel like, added that kind of meaty...
Absolutely.
Meaty quality.
They did the portobello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had the kale Caesar salad. And let me just tell you, it had a lemon Caesar dressing that was delicious. It was so creamy and it was tangy and it was... You know, it had that acidity.
So the kale, it had kale, pickled red onions, croutons, grated and shaved parmesan, and crispy chicken skins.
Those were so good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also, he also asked if I wanted chicken or salmon or something else on
it. Yeah, you can get some grilled chicken in there.
I just got it plain.
Yeah.
The little crispy chicken skins were amazing.
Yeah,
I
like
love
that
it.
Idea.
Whenever we get like rotisserie chicken, I'm always getting that skin off when you are cutting it. It was very good, and it was a good portion. I kind of thought it was going to be small, and they brought it out, and it was huge.
You can so I just remember this: the chicken crisps are on the menu by themselves, and you can get them with mustard glaze and a honey drizzle as well.
Oh,
so I bet that's really good.
I didn't even really see those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little. It's just a $6 appetizer.
Oh, that would have been great.
I got the chicken sandwich.
That was a big boy.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was just a. It was a gigantic piece of chicken on there. Yeah,
huge.
Just with some tomatoes and there's some aioli, tomato greens, and you know, it was good. I was thinking about this. A chicken. I feel like a chicken sandwich is almost harder than a burger to do. You know.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to make an amazing chicken sandwich. I feel like.
And it's hard because the chicken is usually bigger than the bun,
right?
Or the bread or whatever they're using.
And you got to get the toppings right, like. It's got to have a really good sauce. If there's not a good sauce on there, it's going to be a little bit too dry, you know? And you just have to choose the right greens or vegetables or whatever. And I'm not against some cheese on a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, there's not usually.
Maybe like a Swiss on there or something, you know?
There's
I feel
not
like
usually.
You don't really see that very often. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not supposed to traditionally be paired with some cheese, but...
But how was the one last night?
It was great, yeah. It was really, really well fried. Very crispy, and the bun was delicious. Could have used maybe a little bit more sauce. I feel like I didn't really get a whole lot of the aioli on there, but it was wonderful. Yeah,
and it came with delicious fries.
Right,
and
we ordered the truffle aioli on the side.
So
imagine that. I know, right? Truffle.
Truffle. It was very good. The fries were good alone without the dip, and they were also great in the truffle aioli, and we also dipped them into that downtown
I would consider
dip.
Them frites.
I think they are actually called frites there, because you can get them as an appetizer.
Because they were
seasoned.
Right. They were seasoned, and they were about $7, so they're frites.
Frites. But it was great. That's the rule. It was cool inside. The bartenders were super knowledgeable and friendly.
Really friendly, yeah. Really good bartenders in there. And we sort of chatted about like the Jones, and he was like, "Oh yeah, they've got some similar at the Jones." And I was like, oh, "Okay, you kind of know, you know what's up.
Yeah,
you know,
they know
what's going on right here." Jersey Shore was on the TV.
It was like a new version of Jersey Shore.
A new version,
which
of
I didn't even know was a thing.
Jersey Shore was on TV. Pauly D up there. You never watched that show, huh?
I used to watch The Soup.
Uh huh. Did they have clips of?
And they used to roast it on there, and yeah, that was as much Jersey Shore as I needed.
Mike, the Situation.
Pauly D, with the hair? Who's the
Vinny,
guy who I said?
They're all the guy with the hair.
The one guy has like really up hair.
Yeah. So Pauly D has had the same haircut for like 15 years, yeah, probably. And he just owns it at this point. Pauly D's, I think, is the coolest one.
I don't know.
Yeah. Pauly D's a lot of fun.
But yeah, so we were saying that we're going to start picking that union up into our rotation.
I'm super down to throw that into the discussion on the weekends,
yeah,
you know?
I almost got the poke. Mm-hmm. They had one there that sounded delicious. But then I saw that salad, and I was like, eh, I'll get the salad.
Salad was great.
I know. It was really good.
Yeah. So they have the Oki Tuna Poke, Ahi Tuna, red onions, jalapeno, avocados, cilantro, soy sauce, sriracha, mayo, sesame seeds, and wonton chips.
Yeah. See, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm, it does.
That sounds very good. Okay. Well, since we started chronologically and then we went backwards, we can go backwards from there.
Sure. What do you want to talk about next?
Before we went to the Union, we went to Stone Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to try their new Bad and Bougie IPA.
Yeah, that's what it's called, Bad and
Bougie.
It's called
Bad and Bougie. I really liked it.
Stone Cloud is just a really fun place to hang out at, I feel like. It's, you know, super casual and welcoming. And you just walk in and get a beer. It's, you know, it's a very nice layout and design and plenty of seating.
Yeah,
you know?
That was the first time I've been in there to chill in there.
Mm-hmm.
I've only ever gone in there to buy beers in the can and then leave. So it was a cool environment in there. Yeah, like you said, it was chill and people have their doggos in there. We should have brought our doggos.
There's a lot of doggos. What did you think about the Bad and Bougie?
I liked it because
it's sweet.
Okay. Well, at first when I realized it was a double IPA, I was like, oh, I'm going to hate it.
Can I just give a breakdown of it?
Yes.
It is called the Bad and Bougie. It's a northeastern.
New England.
similar, right?
Similar.
New England double IPA. This is their quote, "We use not one but two strains of yeast to ferment our Bad and Bougie New England style double IPA. The unbelievably fruit forward base gave us the perfect canvas to showcase a mixture of three different hops. We went heavy on the Motueka, Mosaic, and Amarillo, but to call this beer fruity would be a disservice. It's Bad and Bougie."
Yeah, so it definitely had a fruit flavor, but it wasn't like fruit heavy.
Right.
It did have a sweetness on the end. I think that's why I liked it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was nervous that it was going to be like real hoppy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to like it. And he let me try it before I ordered it.
I think technically it is hoppy, but just a different kind of hop than you might be familiar with, right?
I don't like when it's so hoppy that it's like dry.
Uh-huh.
Or like it makes me like...
Give me all the hops, man.
Yeah, you want
Give
all
me
the
all
hops.
The hops. I love the nasty, stanky hop IPAs.
Yeah, I'm not into bad.
Give
I'm
it to me.
That.
I want it thick, frothy. I did a six pack of the Rip Snorter, which I thought was really good.
I didn't try that. I meant
it's
to
like
try
a,
it.
It's a super light. Mm. I think it is IPA, but it's super light.
So I like it.
So, which is like, considering what I just said, is different for me, for my tastes. However, I liked it a lot. Mm. It was very, very refreshing.
I'm excited to try.
I'm excited to open one of those up tonight or something, you know?
But yeah, so Stone Cloud is great. They have a lot of options.
They really do. And there's always something rotating. Like there's always, what's so cool about going to breweries is that if they're experimenting with something or they like brewed a barrel of, I'll just try this, you know, see if this works. They've got it, you know, loaded up on the taps and you can try it, but you don't have to go to the liquor store or wait for it to go into distribution into the liquor store. You can just go in there and they've got new stuff on tap. And what's also great is that you can just get the 4-ounce pours for like $2.
Yeah, that's like my favorite thing is because you can go in there and you can get five beers, but if you really want to get like a 4-ounce pour, it's like,
two beers. You want to try one of everything on the menu.
Yeah, and it's not expensive.
You're not going to get blackout drunk and you're also not going to spend very much money.
Right. Which is great.
SoundCloud is cool.
Yeah, they have a lot of options. I was saying they have a lot of options for people who like different types of beer. Awesome. I feel like sometimes craft beer gets like a bad rap because people think it's only IPAs.
Yeah, there's a ton of that.
And what's great about SoundCloud and, you know, Rough Tail and Prairie, they have different kinds of beer. It's not just like one kind.
I feel like sours are like really coming into prominence.
I love the sours.
Prairie has a ton of sours.
Prairie does have a ton of sours.
SoundCloud had several sours yesterday.
I had two of them. I think they had three and I had two and they are both great. I cannot
get into the sours, man.
I love it.
I really wish I could. I think maybe they'd be good as like a beer cocktail.
They wouldn't be good mixed with like lemonade. Might be too sour then though. I don't know. Yeah,
or like, I don't know. Maybe find a pair it with another beer.
Or juice.
Because that's a thing, right? You mix two beers together, make a little beer cocktail. Yeah. Or juice. Yeah, juice.
I liked them. Both were raspberry, the fruit raspberry. And
yeah, it was great. We need to go there more often. It's literally down the street from us. Yeah. And it's we need to go there before dinner, after dinner or something, you know. Or in the afternoon. Yesterday, we were there like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So chronologically backwards.
We did the
Midtown. Well, we kind of did the Midtown walkabout.
We did part of the Midtown walkabout.
We spent some time in Midtown.
It was hot.
During the walkabout.
It was really hot.
It was hot.
It was too hot.
We had lunch at Hall's Pizza Kitchen, which we've talked about plenty of times before.
We sat on the rooftop and it was nice.
It was actually perfect. Even though it was 90 degrees, we were in the shade.
In the shade, it was fine.
It was wonderful. A little light breeze.
Yeah, and there was some live music.
Some pizza,
and
it was some beer, some friends. Music.
It was very good.
Vibes, weekend vibes.
Yeah, Hall's is a good weekend vibe place.
It's a big mood.
A big mood?
Yeah. It's a mood. You're not familiar with moods?
No.
Okay, all right, we can move on.
We did do the Midtown, half of the Midtown walkabout.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we were in Midtown during the walkabout.
Yeah. But we walked around.
Yeah. And we walked as well.
We visited some shops and patronized Commonplace Books, which they're opening a little kitchen.
Right.
Not a little kitchen. I think it's going to be an actual kitchen.
It has been in the works for a while, I believe.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I'm very stoked to get in there because I follow the guy that's, I think, is creating the menu or sort of in charge of the food, you know? And he seems like a very knowledgeable, creative fellow. So
I'm excited.
Super stoked about that. And man, Gogigo. I got to stop saying Goji.
Gogi.
Gogigo really stinks the place up.
Well, it's not.
I'm just kidding. It smells wonderful. I'm just saying that smell is just like.
They have an output of their food in it. Everyone who walks by, I'm sure, is like, oh man, that smells great.
So when I go to Commonplace, I immediately go to the host area.
On the right side.
On the right side. Mm-hmm. The host area has all the food books, the drinks books. And the sort of interior, like design books as well.
Yeah, because I always, right next to the host is like the architecture section.
Right.
And I always look at those books. And
the interior design, there's like a whole book on kitchens, whole book on bathrooms.
Yeah, they're so good.
You know what I mean? So I love the host section and looking for different sort of drink books. Or there's like a whole book on eggs, but just 100 egg recipes.
Whole book on toast, whole book on tea.
Yeah, there was a whole book on toast, yeah. So I picked up the 12 Bottle Bar by David Salmonson and Leslie Jacobs. Salmonson. And it's a dozen bottles, hundreds of cocktails, a new way to drink, and tells you sort of what the 12 bottles are that you should always have in your bar. And then it has a bunch of recipes on, you know, what you can make with that. And it's got tips. It's got tips in here on how to shake an egg into your drink, on how to make ice, what sort of glasses, the why and what of 12 bottles.
It's a really cool book.
It's very cool.
And the way it's like laid out.
Yeah.
So here you go.
Chapter 9 is white rum, and it's got a ton of drinks on what you can do with that particular spirit. And I would love to just like sort of do this and just land on a page and be like, okay, I'm going to make this tonight.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like do That's it a good on, idea. A, on a Friday night and go get all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, go get the.
What did you land on?
Fruits. I landed on the Waldorf.
Tell me.
It's 2 ounces of orange liqueur, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth. Half a teaspoon of grenadine, homemade or store-bought, and brandied cherry or high-quality maraschino cherry. We like Luxardo brand for garnish. So that's a vermouth drink.
That sounds good.
Essentially. So yeah, it's a cool book. I'm excited I can pair it with the Meehan's Bartender's Manual, which is similar in genre, a little different approach.
Yeah.
The Meehan's has a ton of stuff on how to open a bar, the logistics of opening a bar.
Right.
And how to operate a bar and what sort of machinery and tools you need to open a bar.
And this is kind of like for home.
I think this is more geared toward home bartenders. So very, very excited that I picked that up.
Yeah.
Commonplace is tight. Get in there and buy a book from Commonplace.
Pet Boss.
Yeah. Pet the doggo in there. Oh, he's always chilling.
He's so chill. All right. Well, Friday night, we went to Tucker's Onion Burgers because they have the Impossible Burger.
Can I just say that Tucker's, I think, was the one of the first local spots that I sort of picked up on.
Like as it being like a local place?
Yeah.
And like wanting to go there?
Yes.
Because of it being local?
I moved out here in 2011, and I think they opened shortly after that. Maybe before that.
On 23rd?
The one on 23rd, yeah. And it was sort of my first, maybe not my first, but I don't know. It's just one of those early spots that I explored as a Oklahoma City resident, you know? So I just wanted to say that about Tucker's. And I'm glad that they're still kicking and they have several locations and they're moving out to Edmond and Norman.
Yeah, they have a new one in Norman.
Two OKC locations. So it's really cool to have seen that sort of come to life and provide burgers for Oklahoma City.
But let me talk about this burger.
Go for it.
They have what's called the Impossible Burger, which I feel like is a national thing because I think I've seen videos about people trying it before. It's called the Impossible Burger because it's a plant-based burger that when paired or given to someone side by side with a traditional beef burger, people cannot tell which is which. I loved it. It just had like a grill taste. Like it tasted like, you know, someone went and smashed a meat up and put it on the grill and it had a grill taste and it had a consistency that most veggie or plant-based burgers don't have. And even just looking at it, it looked like a meat.
It absolutely looked like a beef patty. It did.
And like taking a bite of it and looking at it, it just had like that texture that beef patties have.
I think I could have used a little bit more juiciness to it. But that's not to say that it was dry by any means.
No. I mean, it's not going to have the bleed that like a meat burger has.
Okay, so the Impossible Burger from Tucker's is made from, well, it's a meaty burger made from plants, including wheat protein, coconut oil, potato protein, and heme. I don't know what that is. But yes, I was convinced. If you put the Impossible Burger next to a beef burger, I would have definitely been convinced. I really would have.
Like it would have been hard for you to tell the difference, yes. Which one was which.
I'm not sure that I would have been able to tell. I maybe would have said that the Impossible Burger was this is going to give the wrong impression, but a lesser beef burger.
Like a lighter patty. Well, it did look thinner.
It was
than
thinner.
Your,
yeah, it was thinner.
Yours.
Yeah. And however, it was good. It did not taste like a veggie burger by any means.
No.
It did not look like a veggie burger. It felt felt like a beef burger. So it was great. And they really did it. Mission accomplished on the Impossible Burger.
Yeah, it was great. An important thing to say about veggie burgers is that some places have like garden patties, like a fake meat patty. And some places like make their own special like black bean burger, like quinoa burger or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're more interested in the latter, the black bean burger, quinoa burger, or like a very distinctly veggie patty, plant patty. Some people might be turned off that this is so meat.
So meaty.
Mm-hmm. Meaty.
If you're looking for a black bean burger, you know.
That's not this. Like this is like you maybe you're trying to be healthier. Maybe you, like me, you don't eat beef. This is an option. But I know that some true vegetarians or vegans stay away from meat substitution type foods.
Right.
And if that's you, then I would not.
I ordered a beef burger on Friday. However, next time I'm going to consider getting the Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
You know, cause it's not going to make you feel gross. Sometimes a beef patty can be really heavy and overwhelming and sort of greasy. And you just kind of feel a little gross afterwards. So I, depending on the mood I'm in, I might hit up that Impossible Burger.
Yeah, but I got, I got the onions on it. I got pickles and pickles on burgers is great.
Yeah. I have recently become a pickle boy.
Yeah. Yeah. When we first got together, you weren't into pickles.
Did not like pickles. And I'm sort of, I'm warming up to pickles.
They were great.
Same as mustard. I'll get some mustard on some stuff every now and then.
I had mustard, pickles, and cheese and onions on mine.
I will say that I haven't really tried like a yellow mustard, you know?
That's what I had on mine.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you always have sort of the Dijon or the honey or something like that.
Yeah, because I love Dijon. But tacos was great, and like the bun on the burger is good, mm-hmm. and the fries are great.
Great fries.
We went to the one in Class and Curve.
Class and Curve location is really nice. I think it's big. I like it better than the 23rd location.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never been.
Yeah. They're different, but not crazy different.
Mm-hmm.
The one on Class and Curve is more roomy. I think it has more seating. So anyway, Tucker's is cool. Impossible Burger.
Go try it.
Hit it up.
I know it's like a limited time thing.
Right.
But I'm not sure how limited time it is. I don't know if it's, for a month. I don't know. It's until they run out of.
As far as we know, they have them at all locations, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. And then after Tucker's, we went to a new ice cream shop called Capitals.
Yo, Capitals was lit. Holy crap.
We did go on like their official grand opening night.
Mm-hmm.
It was wild in there.
It was wild.
We got there at a good time because when we got there, the line was inside. And when we left, the line had sneaked out the door.
Yeah.
It is in Midtown.
As many people that were inside, were outside.
It's in Midtown on 10th and Hudson, or I guess it's 9th, more closer to 9th and Hudson.
Yeah, between 10th and 9th.
It's right next to Barrios on Hudson.
It was really cool. And I've never seen that kind of machine that they were using in there.
It looked like a thing that gets drilled into the ground to like break the ground up.
It was a big like metal drill.
Like a cork, like a funneled down, like corkscrew, like looking contraption.
And they use it to really... really pulverize and smack these ingredients together
into the ice cream.
So it's not just like some vanilla ice cream with some candy on top.
Right.
So, it's like really mixing it in there.
So like when you go to get like a mix-in or like a concrete, all the mix-ins are already like broken up. Like when you get like Butterfinger in ice cream, it's like Butterfinger crumbles. Mm-hmm. This, they like everything is whole. Like you can get cookies and cream ice cream and there's Oreos that are whole Oreos that they blend up in this contraption.
They just into blast the it in there.
Yeah.
Blasted ice cream.
I had the Mount Scott, which was chocolate ice cream with graham crackers. And then it had some chocolate in there and a little roasted marshmallow on top. I did get it in a cup because I'm messy.
Yeah. I didn't want to get a cone that particular night.
And it was amazing. It had like this gritty texture because of the graham crackers and the chocolate. And then they had little chocolate squares. Oh, I loved it. It was very good. I love anything with marshmallow or s'mores related.
I got the Teddy Roosevelt, which was vanilla ice cream with some banana,
mm-hmm.
Teddy Grahams.
Vanilla wafers?
Vanilla wafers.
Vanilla wafers.
Vanilla wafers. Peanut butter, maybe?
It had cocoa Reese's Puffs.
Oh, it had Reese's Puffs and then some Teddy Grahams on top.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I loved it.
It was good.
And man, I don't know. That machine, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. I feel like... where do they get that?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. We went with my parents, and my mom got the avocado and lime one, and that was delicious.
It was the creamiest ice cream I think I've ever had.
It was so good.
Extremely smooth.
It was really good. My dad got the cookies and cream, which was also very good, and that had Oreos and like little cookies. So it wasn't just Oreo cookies and cream. It was like chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good.
Man, they had a ton of business. I know they posted the next day. They were like, hey, we're open at this time, and then we're open until we're sold out.
Right.
And so we're just going to go all night until we're done.
And they closed sometime in the afternoon, and then they opened back up like at 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
It was pumping in there, man.
Yeah.
And they were very efficient. It was really busy, but they definitely had a system worked out. Because
they only have two machines, right. I think, is the deal. And so, I mean, it was about a 30-minute process.
Yes.
I wouldn't expect that, in the coming weeks. I'm sure it's going to be fine. It was the first night it was open, and people get nuts for ice cream.
You know
what I'm saying?
They really
do. New ice cream place, it's going to be bumping in there.
It was really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to go back, and you can do like a make your own. Like there's like pre-done ice creams that you can get.
Special items.
And then you can do a make your own. They have all kinds of cereal you can put in. And
Reese's Puffs, Fruity Pebbles.
Cocoa Puffs. You can get peanut butter in there. They had a lot of choices. So they also have a really cool mural on the back wall. It's some flowers that Tree and Leaf did. It's great.
Oh,
it's
I did not
beautiful.
Realize that. That's cool.
It's very pretty. But yeah, I guess if you go in the next couple weeks, just, there might be a wait.
Just be aware. But still make an effort to get in there.
Yeah, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Next time I would like to get a cone.
Yeah, I want to try their cones. The cones definitely look like homemade waffle cones. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be messy.
I thought, okay, don't make any sort of assumptions about anything I'm about to say. I thought it was interesting that it was an all-male staff.
It was.
You just don't really see that at ice cream places very much.
Because Roxy's is primarily girls in there, women in there.
I've just never really seen...
Bunch of bros, five dudes back slinging there. Ice cream.
I thought it was cool. It seemed like maybe the owner's friends or something. You know?
Oh, yeah, or family. Yeah. But it was great. Like I said, they were really efficient, and there was a lot of people, and all the guys were calm.
They were calm.
They weren't flustered mm-hmm. that it was busy. Mm-hmm. They were chill.
They had a great system in place.
Mm-hmm. Go try it. Go try it after you eat Halls or after you go to Barrios. Mm-hmm.
Great combination.
Or just go down there and get ice cream, because mm-hmm. it's good.
Beautiful sign. Lit up sign in there?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to deviate from OKC for a second.
Yeah. Go for it.
We have been watching MasterChef Junior. This is my first experience with any MasterChef show.
Mm-hmm. We're big fans of Mr. Gordon Ramsay, Chef Gordon Ramsay.
I love Gordon.
We've been watching Kitchen Nightmares a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Hotel Hell a little bit. Mm-hmm. But MasterChef is sort of... prime Gordon Ramsay. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is his best show for sure.
And I've never seen adult MasterChef. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how he is on this. But on MasterChef Junior, because they're kids, he's like very encouraging by also being like criticizing. Right. But not in a mean way, because mm-hmm. people know him. He gets crazy. You know, he can call people bread sandwiches or whatever he called that.
And bread sandwiches.
But he's like very good with the kids.
What do you call a guy, a dirty pig one time?
Yeah.
Get over here, dirty pig.
He just tells people to like F off outside and just like, you know how he is. But with the kids, he's so good. He's very like fatherly.
Yeah,
definitely. Like he tells them, you know, this is wrong, but this is also what you did good about it.
Yeah. At the end of sort of reviewing every dish, he's like, what would I do differently?
Right.
Present it, you know, right. to them.
So he gives constructive criticism, but in a positive way that doesn't like break these little kids. Whereas I'm sure on the real show, he might be a little more harsh.
Maybe.
I've never seen the adult version.
Oh, like the adult version. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I think he is. I think all three of them are. I think Joe is more critical than Gordon sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Joe is worse than Gordon.
He is.
To the kids.
He is.
So it's sort of your normal cooking competition show. You know, people get eliminated. At the end of it, you got to cook, you know, your best dishes and you get judged mm-hmm. on them. However, it's different than a Food Network show. And I think I like it better than a normal Food Network kind of show.
It's a lot different, and there's a lot more emphasis on the cooking mm-hmm. and like the techniques that they're using mm-hmm. versus just like, this is a competition and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. The kids
are insane. My gosh.
The kids though, like they know stuff that I didn't know about until, you know, I'm my 20s and they're 8, 9, 10 years old.
I know. We were just saying like that somebody was going to do burrata.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know what burrata was until like I was 27.
Yeah.
I'm 27 right now.
Right.
You know,
and these kids are 8 years old. And just like the composure that they have at their age mm-hmm. and like their speaking ability and like, mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure at 26. That's too much pressure for me. And the kids in the finale are 8, 9, and 11 years old. And it's like, how?
Cooking for these incredible chefs in front of a crowd on TV.
Right.
You know, and the entrees that they were making was like lamb, steaks.
Right.
You know, with all these kinds of different vegetables, all these different techniques and ingredients that I've never heard of. I've definitely never cooked with.
Right.
And it's like, golly, where'd you figure this out? I just don't understand. We're thinking maybe that they had like clinics sort of in between tapings where they would just sort of hang out with the chefs, you know, and at least sort of learn some basic or not even basic, you know, just.
Yeah,
sort
these
of,
are advanced skills right, that advanced, these kids have.
At least tastings and pairings and different things like that. Yeah. I feel like maybe goes on.
Because they all seem to know what goes good with what. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I paired this with this because, you know, this reason.
MasterChef is a ton of fun. They're always dumping food on the judges.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like a kids only thing, but like
I think it is. I think somebody was like, "Hey, so now we have the technology where we can we sort of figured out how to dump stuff on you guys on stage. So let's do it every episode."
Yeah.
They dumped ice cream on him, they dumped egg, which I don't think was a real egg, probably just some goop,
kind of slime.
Some sort of goop.
Goop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a great show. We watched it on Hulu and we didn't realize that it was like we watched the latest season. And we didn't realize that it was like the season that's currently on TV.
I thought it was over.
We caught up and then we had to wait for the finale because we didn't realize that we were watching the live season.
It's a lot of fun. If you like Food Network shows, this is on Fox.
Right.
Originally, then it gets to Hulu. Mm-hmm. If you like Food Network shows or interested in, if you like Gordon Ramsay, check out MasterChef.
Yeah, it's very
good. It's a lot of fun. And the kiddos are super smart.
Very eloquent.
I know. It's like, man, like when poised. I was 8 years old, I could not imagine doing that.
Right.
When they speak with such confidence and intelligence, it's nuts.
It's crazy.
Can't believe it.
It's very good. Yeah, go give it a watch if you need something new to watch out there. We've also been watching Handmaid's Tale.
Golly. If you're not watching Handmaid's Tale.
On Hulu.
Just do it, man. Just do it. I can't believe it. It's like quietly the best show on television. The directing, the cinematography, the story,
the acting
is nuts.
It's amazing.
Just the narrative that's going on right now. Gosh, it's better than the first season already. We're like four or five episodes in.
Yeah.
The first season was way more about sort of tension and building up and sort of unfolding the mystery of what's going on in the world, in this sort of dystopian world. And now it's taken it to the next level. It's so intense.
I love it. And it's so there's nothing like that on TV right now.
There's not. I don't think so.
And even the storytelling of it, there's flashbacks, you know, to before the time period that the show is set in.
I would put it in like the same sort of box as Breaking Bad, you know, where it's just like really intense, really emotional, great characters, great directing. I just love it.
It's an intense hour of mm-hmm. TV.
And a bummer. It's a bummer, man.
It's very serious. It's like on the same caliber as like Big Little Lies.
Yes.
Like as far as
that's a better comparison than Breaking Bad.
The feelings that are evoked from it and just like the genre of like the content. It's so good. It's very, very fantastic. Good. In this season, so the first season was based off the book, The Handmaid's Tale, and the second season is, you know, they're kind of doing their own thing.
Right, because there's no sequel to the book or anything. They just, let's do a second season and figure out what's going on.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Gosh, it's nuts.
Yeah.
We also just randomly put on The Office the other day.
Again.
And now we're watching The Office.
Again.
I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it. It's crazy how it happens. When you have nothing to watch...
Yes.
You just want to sit down and eat something and want like a 20-minute show. It's just so easy to throw The Office on, man. Any episode, literally any episode.
Yeah, because what did you just, we put on one from season two. And that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, that's what we're watching now. It's crazy. All right, well, what do you think? You want to wrap it up a little bit?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining us. If you're listening on iTunes, or if you're not listening on iTunes, give us a review. Mm-hmm. Write a little something in there, and we'll actually read those on the show if you mm-hmm. get any. So please do that. You can follow us on Instagram at FBGT Podcast, as in Food, Booze, Good Times Podcast. You can follow me at Zach Stabler on Instagram. I'm always posting stories about what I'm eating, drinking, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You can
and pictures of our dog.
Yeah, pictures of the dog. You can follow me on Instagram at Julie B, BEE. You can like us on Facebook. And we'll be eating and drinking and exploring the city. Yeah.
This has been Food, Booze, and Good Times.
I'm hungry.